going to go on to 032898, Falco versus Ashcroft. Is Kyle Kinsey in court? Hello, Mr. Kinsey. Come on up. No, it happened.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Kyle Kinsey. I have a housekeeping matter. This is my first case before the Seventh Circuit. I'm not yet admitted to the Seventh Circuit. I am admitted to practice, but I don't have a sponsor.
Okay, who would like to sponsor Mr. Kinsey? That's very kind. Are you admitted?
I'm admitted.
Oh, come on. Just say.
I knew him.
And you know him to be a man of good character, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Will you swear Mr. Kinsey in, please?
Mm-hmm. He likes it.
And after court, you'll take care of all the paperwork.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you'll go with me.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Then you'll have lunch together.
Fine.
And you're buying. Okay.
That's
Mr. Kinsey. Go ahead.
Good morning, Your Honor. I represent the appellant. This is an appeal from Board of Immigration Appeals denial of Ms. Galco's motion to reconsider.
You know, even before you begin, I have a quick question for you. Is the relief that you are seeking to grant the petition for asylum or to remand to the IJ?
Your Honor, I would be happy with either decision.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. in the board's decision to deny, the board the rubber stamped the prior decision on Ms. Galco's appeal, which the board adopted the immigration judge's decision in this matter. The only difference between the immigration judge's decision and the BIA's decision on the appeal is that the BIA added three inconsistencies for which it found Ms. Galco not credible. The BIA abused its discretion for three reasons. First, the board adopted a flawed credibility finding by the IJ. Second, the BIA erred in finding factual discrepancies that to support its adverse credibility finding that are not discrepancies. And third, the CIA denied due process to Ms. Galco because its decisions were not based on reasonable, substantial, or probative evidence.
You know, something I find is hard to understand here is we are hearing appeal from denial of the motion for reconsideration. But how does that differ? If we're hearing of an appeal from the underlying order, we would address the same issues. Would we not? Why? How is this different from a appeal which wasn't taken in time in this case?
Your Honor, the appeal was taken in time. It just was filed pro se, and the arguments were not very clear. The reason
no,
why
we're the problem I have is we have a certain time to take an appeal. If you don't do that, then you can file a motion for reconsideration, but And supposedly the appeal from that is different from the appeal from the underlying order, but I don't see how this appeal is any different than the one that you make from the underlying order.
I
is there a different standard of review? Is that what the difference is, or what?
Your Honor, it is reviewed for abuse of discretion, and matters of due process are first heard before the Seventh Circuit and not heard before the Board of Immigration Appeals. The reason why it's so similar is because the Board basically adopted the decision of the immigration judge twice.
No, but we're basically attempting to determine, or you're arguing at least, why the Board was wrong. Are you not necessarily anything different than you'd order if it was a straight appeal from the underlying order. That's why I find this a little difficult to understand.
Yes, Your Honor, it's a little difficult to address an opinion that's only a line or two long. At least on the Board's decision on appeal, the Board did point out reasons to find an adverse credibility finding, but at the same time it adopted the immigration judge's decision. Those were addressed in the motion to reconsider, and the motion to reconsider was denied in the space of one line. Basically, there was the Board said there was no error in its prior decision. Accordingly, today I'm before you arguing about the errors of the decision of the immigration judge, since they were twice adopted by the BIA. The IJ's decision is defective because she found that Ms. Galco is not credible, and then she states because of matter of YD. Matter of YD is a Board of Immigration Appeals decision where an immigration judge can deny a petition by an asylum applicant if the testimony is general or meager. But the immigration judge never found that Ms. Galco was testimony was general or meager. She just said because of matter of YD, and her decision is defective without a finding that her testimony is general or meager. In fact, Ms. Galco also presented medical evidence and other records that did corroborate her statements and did substantiate that she suffered injuries. Asylum may be granted based on testimony alone. This is from 8 CFR section 208.13a. And it was not reasonable for the immigration judge to require production of certain evidence that was unavailable to Ms. Galco. Further, the immigration judge speculated that the injuries sustained by Ms. Galco were caused by her husband, and this is improper because there's no evidence besides the fact that Ms. Galco got a divorce that the evidence that the injuries were caused by her husband. The IJ further erred by requiring immaterial evidence, such as evidence of her degree and employment, before she would grant the petition. She wanted this evidence to corroborate Ms. Galco's claim, and it's not material to her claim. The IJ also required evidence that Ms. Galco could not submit, and she couldn't get anyone in the Ukraine to send to her because she wanted an identity document, which is prohibited by Ukrainian law from being sent outside of the country. After the BIA adopted these
errors, what the IJ told of that fact?
I beg your pardon, Your Honor?
Was the IJ told that that was a particular document that it was illegal to send from the Ukraine?
Yes, Your Honor. The statute was attached as one of the exhibits in the packet. The statute was attached, and I can cite the record.
No, that's fine.
I believe it's 547 through 555. It's in Ukrainian and translated. After the BIA adopted these errors, they made their own adverse credibility finding, which was defective. First, they limited, BIA is limited to reviewing factual findings, including credibility determinations, for clear error. And in the instant case, they agreed with the immigration judge and yet found independent basis for an adverse credibility finding, which is improper because the BIA is not a trier of fact, and Ms. Galco is not given any opportunity to respond to these findings or to these considerations. Pursuant to Paramesi versus Ashcroft, this is 295 F3rd 1047-1050 from the Ninth Circuit, but it also again asserts that the BIA is not the trier of fact and it can't be accorded the same deference as the immigration judge. The three inconsistencies actually identified by the Board of Immigration Appeals are actually consistent facts. The first one, the BIA found that oral statements that Ms. Galco's group acted without recognition by the city government, this is from the record at page 243, is actually consistent with her written application, which stated that her group's application for registration was rejected, and therefore she acted informally. And this is from the record at page 526. The second inconsistency pointed out by the BIA found that her testimony stated that she was struck in the face, and then again, she doesn't say where in her oral testimony. This is from the record at page 244. Is actually consistent with her written application, which states that she was struck in the face, she fell to the floor, and then the interrogators proceeded to kick her. This is from the record at page 342, and I submitted a medical record about the. I'm sorry, Anne.
That's okay. Finish your sentence, and
okay.
Then we'll.
This is consistent with the medical evidence presented, as well as her testimony.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Grimes.
May it please the court, James Grimes for the government. I think it's important to start off by clarifying what is and what is not before the court this morning. This is a petition for review of the board's denial of Galco's motion to reconsider its March 6, 2003 decision dismissing her appeal. Now, this court has no jurisdiction to review the underlying decision, the March 6, 2003
decision. Well, how does the argument here differ from what would we be before if we were talking about the underlying decision?
Well, I was going to address the question you asked earlier, Honor, by, and I would say that in this court's decision in Pitjung at page 396, this court said that when reviewing the denial of a motion to reconsider, it only has jurisdiction to review those matters which were raised in the motion itself. And the motion itself, in this case, is found in the record at pages 11 through 19. Now, in doing that, it's also important to remember that a motion to reconsider must address errors of fact and law in the underlying decision. Well, if you look, so by definition, the motion must actually address the basis for the board's decision. The board's decision was an adverse credibility determination. The other determinations by the immigration judge were not adopted by the board. The board adopted the determination, the result.
Well, they made their own credibility determination.
That's correct, Your Honor. So that was the basis for the board's decision. Ms. Galco's motion to reconsider did not address that issue. She raised four irrelevant issues dealing with the immigration judge's decision, and an issue which he addresses again this morning that is based upon a flawed legal premise. Her first argument, if you look at pages 13 or 14 of the record, deals with her argument that the immigration judge's decision was based upon the finding of a lack of corroboration. And it appears to be based upon her arguments she has this morning and at page 23 of her brief that the board is unable to make its own factual determination.
Well, but the board made its own credibility determination, which was exactly the same as the IJ.
I disagree, Your Honor. I don't believe the IJ addressed the matters that the board addressed. In fact, I think what the IJ said was, you're not credible. And
that's the bottom line.
Yes, exactly.
You're not credible.
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
So both of them are saying she's not credible.
That's right.
So we can look and see if there are specific and cogent reasons that, whether or not we agree that she was not credible.
Your Honor, I can certainly address the board's credibility determination, and I believe it is supported by substantial evidence, but I would first point out that, as I said, this court's jurisdiction is limited to the matters that were raised in the motion to reconsider. She did not raise the credibility issue in her motion to reconsider, so it's not properly before the court. And I would like to address that issue, but I would also like to point out that Ms. Galco is wrong to say that the board cannot issue its own factual findings. The regulation on which she relies does not apply to her case because her notice of appeal was filed before September 25th, 2002. So the board could issue its own factual findings. But I think in the larger perspective, the first issue this court should look to is, has Ms. Galco even preserved the issue that is before the court? The issue before the court is whether the board abused its discretion. She hasn't addressed that in her brief. The only place she even comes close to addressing that issue is at pages 18 and 19 of her brief, where she says that she raised some issues in her motion to reconsider.
I have to say that it's my thought, at any rate, that you have too narrowly construed Ms. Galco's challenge in the motion for reconsideration to the BIA's credibility determination, because What she did was she addressed the BIA sua sponte findings of inconsistencies in her testimony. And although it's true, and I can understand certainly why you make the argument, it's true that she did not elaborate on that argument. It is presented in her motion to consider in the broad sense.
Your Honor, I'd be happy to address every point that she raised in her motion to reconsider. Her first argument, as I said, is based upon the incorrect legal premise that the board can't make its own factual findings.
We'll go past that one.
The second and third arguments have to do with corroboration. At pages 15 and 16, the board did not base its decision on corroboration. The fourth argument, page 17, has to do with whether or not there's persecution of Jews.
Well, in finding her not credible, the board has to have looked at all of that.
The board explained to us exactly why I found her not credible at page 244 and 245 of the record, based upon three specific inconsistencies. Those inconsistencies, her motion is at page 11 and 19 of the record, isn't in there. Her fourth argument was about whether or not there was persecution of Jews in Ukraine. That's only relevant if she's credible. And her fifth argument also went to the merits at page 17 and 18. It's not in there, Your Honor. But even if it were, I suggest that what this court should look to is the heart of her claim. Adverse credibility determinations that are supported by specific and cogent reasons will be supported by substantial evidence. And the heart of her claim is her treatment by UNSO and her treatment by the government. At page 341, 342 of the record, she testified that she was hit in the face once, maybe twice, and that she sought medical treatment for her eye. In her written asylum application at page 528 of the record, she told a different story.
Well, not a different, she just embellished a bit.
Well, Your Honor, if Your Honor believes that the record compels the conclusion that she embellished rather than was telling a different version of events because she couldn't keep her story straight because it didn't occur, then then I would agree with you. But what she told in her written application was about a broken rib, being kicked while she was unconscious, having the whole side of her body being black and blue.
Well, that's a debate about whether she was kicked as well as being hit, isn't that?
Well, she doesn't certainly doesn't mention that in her testimony, Your Honor.
I mean, if we're going to talk about the reasons given by the board, they seem one of them is about whether her organization was officially recognized. I'm not sure I understand why that's relevant. Who cares whether it was officially?
Well, whether or not that's relevant.
If it was officially recognized, or that if it, I guess makes her gives her either a better or worse case in some.
Your Honor, that's why I want to focus on the treatment that she alleges she received. And as I noted, you have one story where she's talking about being kicked while unconscious. The other story is, I was hit once, maybe twice in the face. But that's not the only time that happens. She also testified at pages 346 to 348 of the record about the treatment she allegedly received while being questioned by the police. She testified that she was pushed while sitting in a chair that hit her in the face, causing her to hit a wall. But at page 529 of the record, in her written asylum application, she said that she was kicked and called dirty names after she fell on the floor. Again, those appear to be different
really
stories. Pardon me, Your Honor?
Sufficiently material difference to impugn her credibility? I'm not sure I understand.
Well, the issue is, can she tell a consistent story about what occurred to her, about the heart of her claim?
Her medical record corroborates that she suffered both injuries to her eye and to her ribs. And shouldn't we, you know, be looking at these things?
I think, Your Honor, to directly answer your question, I would say what you should look at is her brief. Did she raise the issues before the court? And the answer to that is no. Then look at her motion to reconsider. Did she address the adverse credibility determination that the board made in her motion? And the answer is no, it's not in there. And because it's not in there, this court really has no jurisdiction to consider it. But even if this court did, those are differences that go to the heart of her claim. They are about what happened to her. One would expect that if those things, which sound traumatic, actually occurred to her, she would be able to tell a consistent version of events. And she could not. In any event, we ask that because she has waived the issue before the court and did not address it in her motion to reconsider, that this court affirm the decision below and deny the motion for reconsideration. Unless there are any further questions, this concludes the government's presentation.
Thank you so much, Mr. Grimes.
That's right.
You used up all your time. I will give you 1 minute if you have something that you can say in a minute. I can't do it, but go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. With respect to whether the credibility issue was raised in the motion for reconsideration, it was. It was part of the first two arguments. So in the first two arguments in the motion to reconsider, the adverse credibility finding was definitely raised in the motion to reconsider. With respect to the inconsistencies raised by the board, in the third instance where Ms. Galco failed to elaborate in her oral testimony about how she was injured, the immigration judge declared a recess right after she started this testimony, and then asked us to move on, asked Ms. Galco to move on as soon as we started the next session. And so there's a very good reason why this was not described in detail.
Thank you very much. Thanks to both of you, new best friends. And the case will be taken under advisement and right into the clerk of court's office with both of you.